brother, I'm going. Run a wild hog Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this choke cord. But it's no holds barred, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold.
What is up, everybody? We are back with another episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'm Way Too Deep. That's DJ Wavy D. He's dressed for the occasion today. How's everything going?
It's going good. I'm just, you know, I got my podcast going on with you on one screen. And my other screen, I'm like halfway through my fantasy draft for football. We got a good team right now, looking to finish off strong. And by the end of the show, I'll probably let you guys know what my team name is going to be. Right now, the league is like SpongeBob theme for team names. So I'm going to try to see if I can combine SpongeBob with one of my players. You know, say have a fancy name.
Mm. All right, but while you're thinking of great names there, we got to get cooking. We haven't done one of these in a little bit. Like an actual let's get cooking. So we're gonna jump on to that. We're gonna pick right back up where we sort of left off with it, where we did TNA, we did AEW. Now we're gonna do NXT. Five men, five women. If we were starting a promotion that we would pick, we'll start with the men category. Who would be your first one you would pick?
All right. My first overall pick when the NXT starting my own promotion draft, I am taking Ethan Page.
Ethan Page, I think, would be my number one. If I had to free reign of that whole roster, Ethan Page would be the first one I would ask for.
Yes, because you need a great heel to make your faces better. We're seeing right now with Cody. You know what I'm saying? People are saying his run is a little boring right now because of his lack of heels to go against. Whereas we look on the other end, you know, even though people say Gunther might be a little sleepy, you know, but based off the promo stuff, but we can't argue that his feuds so far haven't been good because he's been up against good faces, and you know he's a strong heel. So when you compare kind of the two reigns, you know, Cody's selling merch because he's Cody and he's the face of the company, but you know, from a story perspective, I think Gunther kind of has had, you know, a more interesting story. You know, going from King of the Ring to SummerSlam and so on and so forth.
Right. Absolutely. So since we're in agreement there with Ethan, strong, you know, probably, let's just be honest, potentially the best heel in WWE right now. Just the gimmick itself. I mean, and so who would be number two for you?
Oh, I thought we were like drafting.
No.
Okay. Shoot, because I was thinking you would take Trick at your first, and then
no draft, just like a free reign for everybody. Yeah,
I'm assuming Joe Hendry doesn't count because he's a TNA contracted wrestler.
That would be correct. No Joe Hendry.
All right, then I am taking Obafemi. I see money in that guy. You know what I'm saying?
See, look, me and Wavy D on the same wavelength here. Ethan and Oba.
It's my draft pick.
don't want to miss that up. Me and Wavy D are on the same page. Ethan and Oba, you're two strong heels. With Oba sort of the younger one that could be the future, hold down that mid card. We're both on the same page there as far as the first two men's picks. Who'll be your third pick?
I gotta go Trick Willie.
Okay.
Trick Willie, you know, say he has the connection with the fans. You know what I'm saying? The reason I didn't take him first or second is because even though he has that great connection with the fans, you know, his in-ring work, while it has gotten better, he's still a little bit limited as far as his offense. You know what I'm saying? he's a pretty decent striker. He's athletic, but I want to see him work more on his grapple game. You know, be able to, you know, complete more grapple moves, whether it be certain types of suplexes or power slams or power bombs or, you know, certain types of maybe submission holds. I feel like he can improve in that game a lot. So I'm liking Trick Williams in my third pick for the men.
Yeah. So I'll be honest. I didn't pick Trick Williams as one of my five. I like Trick Williams. I just don't necessarily think he would fit in what I would envision as my roster that I already look at. He won't be the top baby face. If we go back to, you know, because I think I picked Joe Hendry from TNA. So, like, if this was an actual roster, like, he's not the top guy. And so, for me, I'm picking some – I'm also looking at age a little bit. Trick Williams up in – I mean, he's 30. He's still got 10, 15 years in him. But I'm looking at someone a little bit more bouncy. Javon Evans.
He's bouncy.
Javon Evans would be my guy that I would put in there to, you know, he's younger, he's more, a little bit more athletic in the ring, can do a little bit more of the crazy, like, you know, if I'm starting a promotion, I'm assuming that I'm feeding the IWC, not us casual fans, starting like an indie promotion. So I would want that guy who could do some of the flips and stuff like that. So Javon Evans, I think, checks that box for me.
Me personally, I think Javon Evans, he misses my board by a few picks just because, you know, and he's very young. He's still working on his craft, but I feel like he's a little bit too bouncy to the point where sometimes I'm watching his offense, I'm watching his matches, I feel like I see him jump off the second rope doing a springboard so many times that leads into so many different spots. But I feel like repeatedly he's like in like an arm lock or a headlock and then he goes to the ropes, kind of does like a little bounce off, and there's an arm drag after that. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of repetitive offense out of Javon Evans. I do like his backstage character work. You know, he gives me shades of a R-Truth mixed with Santino, as far as I feel like I could throw him in any backstage segment, and he'll get laughs, and, you know, the crowd will love him. Promo work, I haven't seen too much actual like in-ring face-to-face promo stuff. From what I've seen during his I think when he was feuding with Shane Sean Spears, right? He was feuding with Sean Spears for a little bit. And I saw a little bit of promo work with that. You know, it seemed like, you know, pretty good beginner stuff. I don't know if talking is gonna be his strongest suit, especially the way If I'm booking similar to WWE, the way they kind of do their promos, I don't know if Javon will soar that much or spread his wings, given that they kind of cut down like the slang and they cut down the certain speech patterns. So, but if I'm booking him, you know, I'll let him be free and do his thing. But it's still the early moveset doesn't have enough of a variety. So that's why he kind of missed my list a little bit.
I can understand that. It does get a little bit repetitive. It is something he'll have to work on with the WWE style, is that it's not a spot fest. You know, when he ran, he's from North Carolina, so I saw a couple of his indie matches. And indie shows run a lot different than WWE. It is just a spot fest. And so if he can work on it to where he can make the springboards mean something, and not do them on every single move, then I think he's magic. Who's pick four for you?
Let's see, pick four for me. So to counter your pick with Javon Evans, someone who is, I would say, a shade less bouncy, but he's far more superior in the ring as far as his striking and his grappling. You want to try to predict what I'm going to say?
Is it Wesley?
Wesley, baby.
Yeah.
My boy, Wesley.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He had a great match with Zach Wentz. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Great guy. That's my pick right there.
He just missed it. And then he missed it because I felt going with Javon and Oba and Ethan. Now that Wes is now a heel, I don't want three heels out of this group. Well, I don't want three singles heels because my next pick is a heel tag team. It's Gallus.
Okay.
Gallus to me may be my favorite tag team in WWE. I'll be honest with you. They should go up there and join Gunther, help him talk a little bit. Because the Coffee Boys can talk. Yeah, Wolfgang, the bigger one in the Gallus, he can't really talk all that well. But the Coffee Brothers are really good on the mic. But yeah, Gallus would be my pick four. It would be your pick five
for the men. Okay. So, oh shit, I am a pick five. I thought I had one more pick. My math wasn't mathing. now I gotta cut someone. Actually, no. I could take this guy as part of a tag team. Actually, I might be able to take the whole stable. Let me get the family. You know,
the family. Saying? Yeah.
Yes. Let me get the Don.
And that's a bonus pick because Miss Rizzo technically can be part of your women's roster.
Yeah, I don't want her. She didn't make my cut over there, but right. I can have her with this. But right. I do like the Don because he great promo guy, great story guy, great vignettes, backstage segment. He can go in the ring. We just saw him with Oba Femi this past weekend. He can go. He's a guy who can be put in the main title picture and be a credible threat, and he can also hold the mid-card title and make that relevant. So I kind of see him like a, almost like a, like Miz in his prime,
right?
Where Miz was like top of the mid card, and then he could flirt with that title picture and be a credible threat whenever you kind of need it and put him in there. So I like Don.
So yeah, I like the family, but I picked four. It's another team on the roster. For the value, that way I didn't have to waste a woman's pick for this woman. I got Chase U.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Miguel at the Mud Group.
No. We'll talk about Miss Parker here in a minute. but no, Thea Hale, I don't think is worth by herself at the moment. There's just way too many women that I would pick in front of her. So grouping her in with Chase U, you know, we got Andre Chase. Who's my veteran on the roster, 20-year vet in this business. You got Riley Osborne and Duke Hudson, which is fantastic, you know, either by themselves or as a tag team. And you had Thea Hale. And Rich Holland did my job for me and went ahead and left the group, so I ain't got to remove him from it because no one really wanted him there in the first place. That's the five men. Let's move over to the women's division. This one was tough for me. Like I had my first three, but finalizing the final two spots got real difficult because this roster is deep. So who's number one for you?
Number one gotta be Roxanne Perez. She's proven herself as both a face and a heel. She proved that her wrestling style, she can go with bigger wrestlers and wrestlers more her size. You know, Lola Vice is, you know, more of a bigger wrestler as far as compared to her. She wrestled a great, you know, not amazing match, but she wrestled a good match. And then this past Sunday, again, with Jay Parker, someone like that, who's still pretty new to wrestling, she had a bang over match with her. And Roxanne has a history of good matches. And she's a face of NXT. She might be, honestly, the GOAT of NXT women's wrestling, considering all the matches she's won and all her accomplishments. I think it's a short list of two-time women's champions. Isn't Charlotte the only other two-time NXT women's champion, or Mandy Rose?
Shayna did it. Shayna had it twice.
So there's a short list of though of the women's two-time, and she's up there.
So I don't know if she beats Asuka though, because Asuka had that like 600-day reign.
Oh yeah, true. Oh, I mean, I guess if we're gonna take it away from Black and Gold, because Roxanne kind of entered after Black and Gold, right?
Right. Yeah.
All right. So we'll say the current iteration of NXT, she's definitely the women's GOAT. And she's definitely, I think, can make a top five or top 10 list of all-time NXT women.
So, 100% agree with everything you just said. However, she's not in my top five. I don't pick Roxanne in this draft. I'm not a Roxanne fan. I'll be a Roxanne hater. If there's a Roxanne hater, you know, if she has zero haters, I'm dead. That's kind of what I'm saying here.
Wow. I'm surprised that you're not a big fan of Roxanne.
She reminds me a lot of Sasha Banks in terms of just like the size and the lack. Like, I don't know, her facial reactions as her face gimmick, I like. I'm not a big fan of her as a heel. She's decent at it. I just don't necessarily, it's not believable to me. I think a lot of it happened because Booker T is like her big supporter, and he tends to be the heel commentator. So it was always awkward for him cheering for the face when she was a face.
I tend to like Roxanne's heel promos.
Her promo, like, it's just like the facial reactions when she's walking backstage. Like, you can tell that it's not natural for her.
It's like 101, textbook 101. Like,
yeah, yeah. My first pick, y'all got to see this coming. Come on, it's Sol Ruka.
Okay.
It's Sol Ruka. There's no other woman on that roster that fits in this spot for me. Y'all going to see the type of women's division I'm building here in a minute. Who's pick two for you?
I gotta say Sol Ruka. I think Sol Ruka, you know, said I need a face to go against my heel, and you know, I'm very high on Roxanne. It's just, you know. But yeah, Sol Ruka, I'm definitely high on her too. You know, I've seen more of Roxanne over the years, and I feel like she's been ready to be called up for the past 2 years. But Sol Ruka, she's right behind her.
I think Roxanne has purposely told them she doesn't want to get called up,
unless she has a story.
Right, like her story now is like, I'm the face of NXT. I'm not leaving. I'm never getting rid of this title, type thing. Mm-hmm. I think like one of her promos leading out of Stand in the Liver was more of, you know, along the lines of, you know, I've held down this division while other people dreamed of being on Raw or SmackDown. I dreamed on being on NXT, mm-hmm. which is really stupid of a promo to begin with. Like, why are you dreaming on being in the minor leagues? But I kind of understand what she was trying to say. But my pick too, Kalani Jordan. We're getting athletic up in here. We don't want none of them. We don't want none of them indie darlings. No, I'm kidding. We'll get some of them here in a minute. But Kalani Jordan, just fantastic, fantastic talent. We got two gymnasts up in here who've worked against each other. Who's pick three for you?
Before I get to Kalani, there's a woman I got to take before her.
Okay.
You know, there might be a couple of women I got to take before her. Kalani might be my first. She might be my first off the board. Like she might be my first miss. Oof. But I got to take Jada Parker.
Okay. Yeah, pick three for me is Miss Parker.
Yeah.
We got to sit here and talk about. She's the future of the women's division. Like, when Charlotte and all of them are gone, Miss Parker going to be there to fill that vacuum. And, yeah, perfection. I don't need the other two. I like the other two and out the mud. But Jada don't need to be there, especially since they don't really do much anymore.
They have potential, too. They're very athletic.
They do. They do, yeah. Yeah.
They have potential.
Who's pick four for you, since we both took Miss Parker there?
With my fourth pick, I know you're not as high on her and you don't see her as a individual pick, but I see company lifer. I see like my female John Cena almost in this woman. I see Thea Hale as someone I want to start my promotion with. Homegirl's still like what 20 years old.
Yeah,
she got saying that depending on what her life choices are as far as kids and whatnot, she got 20 years in the business left in front of her.
Right. So it's not that I'm not high on her. It's just when I have five picks, I'm not going to waste one on her when I can draft the whole team. That was sort of my whole strategy there. But yeah, I'll say this: out of all the NXT women, I think she's the most ready for the main roster. You could send her up and tag team with Maxine Dupri right now. Have Maxine and Thea Hale as a tag team, and it would be gold. I mean, I don't hate the pick. I think it's a good one, especially if you're looking. It's sort of like my Javon Evans pick. Dude, he's only like 21. So, I mean, you're drafted for the future with that pick. My pick four is someone that I don't think anyone else would pick except for me. I'm super high on her, and I may be wrong with this.
Can I guess it?
Go ahead.
Fallon Henley?
It is not Fallon Henley.
Dang it.
It is Tatum Paxley.
Okay.
When I was looking at this, I looked at what I drafted. I drafted Kalani, Sol, Jada, and they're all, while they're all unique in their own different ways, they're all sort of the same sort of standard, like, we're here to wrestle, we're here to fight. There's no real gimmick to it. It's just pretty plain. Tatum represents sort of like a gimmick that if I was booking someone, I would need someone like how she's running her gimmick now. It's not going to win you titles, but it's just something to be that entertainment, to sort of break away from the athleticism. Have someone like Tatum who she's spooky and she can come out of from under the ring and she plays with the dolls and everything. It's something unique for the show to have. And so Tatum Paxley, pick four. Who's your pick five?
I'm looking at the roster, and because there was I was between two people, and I can't find the other person. I guess maybe they got released, or maybe they secretly got brought up to the main roster, but I'm not seeing them on the NXT roster, which is funny because they've been on the NXT roster for years. I found her. Okay. She just looks a lot different. I don't know if this is part of her gimmick right now. All right, but that was just for curiosity reasons, because compared to what I'm going to take her.
Who was it?
Well, the person I'm taking is Gigi Dolin.
Okay.
I like Gigi Dolin because she brings like a indie hardcore vibe.
Right.
And I feel like she's kind of down for whatever. You know what I'm saying? She could be like the smoke show of Toxic Attraction.
Right.
Or she could wrestle you a street fight and if we want to get a little bloody, she's down to get bloody. She's a wrestler who's down for whatever. She also could tell a good story and a good feud. If you go back and watch her feud with JC Jane, during the breakup, that was a great feud. Mm-hmm. That was my draft pick. I heard like clicking in my ear, but it was someone else's draft pick. So Gigi Dolin, I always preferred her over JC Jane. I know some other people like JC Jane better. I thought Gigi was kind of a standout of that group. I know Mandy Rose had the title, but I never really thought Mandy was like the greatest wrestler. She can do promos and she looks good. Like she looks like a superstar, but I always thought Gigi was the better wrestler out of the three of them. So she's taking my five spot, and she just beat out the likes of Kalani Jordan. She beat out the likes of Cora Jade, who I'm still very high on. She's a big injury risk. I'm not assigning an injury risk. Isn't Gigi kind of banged up right now too?
No, Gigi literally just—they literally just sent her home. They have nothing for her, which is shameful. Oh. There's literally no reason for that. Like, Sean, I need you to just cook up something for Gigi and get her back on TV.
Is JC hurt or is that storyline, the face mask thing she got going on?
It's storyline. She broke her nose in a match. But yeah, she took the, I think she's no longer in the mask anymore. So now that you mentioned Toxic Attraction, they sort of, she's in another tag team now similar to it. It's her, Fallon, and Jasmine Nix. And rather than calling them Toxic Attraction, they just went to the dictionary and found words that sounded similar to Toxic Attraction. They're called the Fatal Influence or something like that, which literally is the same type of gimmick.
So you're telling me it's similar to Pure Fusion Collection?
Yeah, they just started naming random shit. But my pick five, so I'm going to be fair, and I'm going to say that I'm not going to pick Julia because I was going to take the easy way out and just be like, hey, she's technically part of the roster. But I'm going to be fair and not pick her. I'm going Izzy Dame. Y'all know I like my blondes, and she's got potential, dog. And she's got Braun Breaker as a boyfriend now, so you know she's going to get that push. So I'm picking Izzy. Izzy Dame is number five for me. So that's our Let's Get Cooking. So let's go. You know, the title of this episode is What a Weekend We Had in Wrestling. We had about four shows this weekend between Bash at Berlin, No Mercy, Wrong. We also had TNA Emergence. Not sure how much of that you watched.
I think I made it to like match three or four.
Right. So
I was losing.
So I have zero interest in going match by match on this card. I just want to know your sort of, with your limited experience with the modern TNA roster, what were your thoughts on what you saw from Emergence?
My issue isn't so much the roster. It was the venue. Because I guess the place could be set for 1,000 seats. That's for like a concert with like the person like on stage in a chair. Meanwhile, they were set up for like 400 or 500. But right, most of those seats were in the balcony where you can't even see them. So right, just looking at the arena was just so almost right, like, yeah, like no, demoralizing. And yeah, it wasn't the greatest thing to see on TV. Sorry, I was making a quick draft pick. All right, I'm good now. I take Jake Elliott from my Philly team. You know what I'm saying? That's my boy. Now I'm back in focus. Yeah, so when I was watching Emergence, you know, I bought the, you know, the little $10 subscription for the month, you know what I'm saying? So I could watch Emergence. I mostly bought it because in my free time next weekend, I want to go back and watch some old TNA stuff, some prime right, TNA stuff. I guess it has the library up there from what the description said.
Go up there and watch that Bound for Glory. I think it's 2015.
And you'll see you in the crowd.
Me in the front row. Well, not front row. I'm like eight rows back, but I'm on camera every time someone's coming down the stage. So
I'll keep an eye out for you.
Now, it'd be real easy. I'm in a yellow shirt.
Oh, okay. But that's easy.
Real easy. Like bright. The only guy, like everyone else is wearing black. I'm in yellow. So.
Just like for all first impression, the crowd, just because like the venue, the way it was set up, there was a lot of people on the sides. Also, since the crowd was set up that way, the hard cam was facing the stage. Mm. And I'm not the biggest fan of the hard cam facing the stage, especially when there's not much to look at on the stage. It's right, very plain. Also, there wasn't many. You can't really see the fans on the aisle way. Like the last time I recall liking the hard cam facing the aisle was, I think it was like the 08 Rumble when it faced up, you know, like when it faced the entrance. That's the only time it actually like looked very appealing to me.
That was Cena's return, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I that might be a big reason, guys. It's so memorable. And AEW does a decent job at it sometimes when the hard cam faces the stage. That was one thing. Oh, the Ultimate X match, which is one of TNA's like staples and what they're known for. This Ultimate X match was very, very underwhelming.
Yeah.
It lasted like all of like maybe 13 minutes. I can recall seeing like two decent high spots. One of them was it might have been homie from Chase U. He did a moonsault off the stanchion. He got like kicked or punched and did a moonsault off of it. And then there was one spot on the actual cables, but there just wasn't much going on at all in the match, and it was very underwhelming. I also didn't recognize too much of the names. Like, I heard them in passing, like Speedball and stuff like that. I heard that in passing. The bigger guy in the match, I've seen him before, but he was also very out of his element. I guess that's part of the story that was going on. Who's the big guy in the match?
Yeah, Hammerstone. I have zero idea why the fuck they put him in this match. It makes no sense to me.
Oh, I know it was part of the story, like how Matt Hardy tried to be a cruiserweight.
No, this dude has no purpose being in the X division at all.
Yeah, that was very out of place.
Yeah, when his music played, I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I watched the whole show, and it was decent. I'll say that. The venue, I get it. But I get you can't – you're not going to sell – TNA is not selling out, 6,000-seat arenas. I get it.
Especially for Emergence.
Right. But you got to at least put an effort with the production to make it feel like it's full. It just felt empty. And the crowd, that Louisville crowd sucked. It sucked. They were quiet. It's part of the reason why they're coming down here in my about an hour from me to do some TV tapings at the end of the month. And the prices are decent, but it's like an indie show. It's like four rows deep and then balcony seats. Mm. And it's probably gonna be like 500 people there. And I just don't got time for that. It's hard to buy into how the wrestling, the stories are fine. It's just real hard to get into it when there's 500 people in the arena and they're sitting there, not even participating in the show.
Yeah, like the Steve Macklin and Eric Young match, that was a second on the main card.
Yeah,
that match was a very slow paced match, and also when you have a dead crowd for like 90% of the match. That match like really dragged on, and I find myself kind of looking at my phone a little bit more and more.
The other match, I don't know if you didn't watch the main event, then I don't know. I'm not a big fan of these 60-minute Iron Man matches. These things drag on, and it was a good match. Alexander and Nemeth are good opponents. It just felt super long, and again, it's a production thing. When WWE does Iron Man matches, they have the score on the TV. You could see who's up, two pins or whatever. TNA maybe had a graphic every time a pin happened, but they removed it from the screen. So I was watching Nerdy D's live stream of SmackDown, which was shorter than this match, by the way. This match started before Nerdy D went live and ended after Nerdy D ended his live stream, and his live stream went like a full like 45 minutes. So I was watching that and then sort of halfway paying attention to the Iron Man match and had no idea what the score was, had no idea who was winning until the final pin was made. And I'm like, yeah, y'all got to do better than this. Like, you had a really solid opportunity with this NXT partnership to maybe garner, especially with SmackDown being pre-taped and not a lot of people tuning into it, you had a lot of opportunity to get people interested in your show, and I just feel like they missed. I feel like it was booked to the people who watch it, and it missed on that potential growth opportunity.
Yeah, I made it to maybe a minute into the 8-man tag team match, okay. So the second to last match. The women's six person tag team match was pretty good. Had high energy. The girls were doing their thing, but there was an injury that happened during the course of the match. It threw off the pace of the match, you know, so I can't really blame the wrestlers for that, but that took me out the match a little bit because the injury and it threw everything off and, you know, it kind of breaks the illusion. So that was very unfortunate. Also, Jordynne Grace, who's like your women's champion, who's a big draw, she's like relegated to a six-person tag team match.
Right.
You know, with not much going on there. I would like to see Jordynne Grace in like a championship match. If I'm like a person who has like a small eye on the product, but you know, kind of tunes in every occasionally when they hear a little buzz going on, I would love to see Jordynne Grace, who's arguably what your second, third biggest name in the company. You know, I would like to see her in a predominant match.
Right.
The TNA World Tag Team Championship between the ABC Gang or Club or whatever you want to call them versus First Class. You know, they threw Casey Navarro in this group because Rich Swann has some legal issues.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's kind of like a last-minute decision. The tag team match itself was pretty good. You know, AJ Francis did his best to be entertaining. KC had some good offense. ABC was, you know, it was good. I did find myself kind of, you know, looking at my phone again or looking over to see what SmackDown was doing.
Right.
Because I think around this time, the reason I left the 8-man tag team match was because, first of all, it seemed just like a group of faces facing the big heel team. I saw that Mike Santana, when they were doing the promo packages, Mike Santana seemed to have like a big kind of grudge against them, and he was kind of, you know, mainly involved. But I felt like Joe Henry and the Hardys were kind of thrown into it.
It was kind of random, yeah.
And so I tuned out and watched the Nia Jax versus Mia Yim street fight, which I liked a lot.
Right.
So that's where I tuned out.
Yeah, I mean, mostly TNA's problem is production right now. They just don't have the budget or the ability to put on like a big time, and all it really takes is just a little bit of effort. Like, I get it, you're selling 1,000 seats and that's it, but make it feel full. Even if you have to like put wrestlers in the crowd as fans, I mean,
Seats around, like, right, if you can go to arenas where you can make it look better. Don't right. just settle for so-and-so arena. I'm sure they could maybe like a city or two over and found a better arena. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I think it's just a little bit of effort there. So the next show after that was Bash at Berlin. I've already sort of given my thoughts immediately after. You can go and check those out if you haven't yet. So what were your initial thoughts on Bash at Berlin?
The match quality was good. Actually the match that, I need to go back and watch, but was very underwhelming in the moment, was the, mixed gender tag team match.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that story is like, you know, kind of going into it, I was like, yeah, mixed gender tag team match, it's going to be awesome. And then I was kind of thinking, I'd rather just see these guys go in two singles matches.
Right.
Like, I'd rather see, you know, Damian versus Dom and Rhea versus Liv. I know this is kind of like a step to get there, but I feel like, you know, maybe through Finn in there instead of Dom, but I don't know. I just feel like the mixed gender tag team match could have either happened somewhere else or maybe a different part of the card. I just recall dozing off during that match, and I guess maybe it started off a little too slow more than I wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the Randy and Gunther match. I felt like that match went on pretty good. You know, I went on a limb and try to say Randy would kind of get that match my long-term storytelling, but that didn't happen.
So if I had one phrase to describe this would be glorified house show. This was a house show. That's all this was. That's all we should ever expect these events overseas to be. You know, you were coming over for one night in your country a year. You're getting the you're getting all the big names that the fans want to see, and it's just going to be, you know, we've been calling it fan service, but it's just a house show. And that's why Cody versus Owens can start the night and run a slower pace and not be the energetic type of match that typically starts a PLE. You know, you mentioned Gunther and Randy. This match, if you are a wrestler and you're going to enter wrestling training school, this match is going to be shown on how to do anything in the business. Timing of everything, playing to the fans, you know, the technical ability, all of it, like spot on. Like if we're rating this this match, this might be potentially the best technical match of the year. Now the AEW fans will say differently, but
there we go. Okay, we're back.
There we go. Didn't realize we even lost you.
On my screen, I lost you. And then I was like, okay.
that's weird. Yeah, so as I was saying, like Randy versus Gunther, you know, if you're looking into a match that how do you do professional wrestling, look at that match. It's the timing, the pacing, the playing to the crowd, the technical ability. It's a match of the year candidate for me. Was it like a big moment, like WrestleMania style moment? No. All right, cool. We're back. We're good.
Yeah, I refreshed the page because it was saying that you're on my screen showing that like your Wi-Fi signal is like going in and out. So I just refreshed mine just in case.
Oh, okay. That's I kind of figured that would happen. I have two different modems in my house, and I'm connected to the wrong one. I just realized it. So I was hoping it would cause problems. Let's talk about No Mercy, though. We sort of mentioned it, and let's get cooking. What were your thoughts on No Mercy?
Best show of the week.
Absolutely. Without a doubt.
Best freaking show of the week. Every match delivered. The one match that I felt was not underwhelming, but the two wrestlers, their wrestling styles didn't clash the best. And it kind of was Kalani and Wendy Wu.
Yeah.
Is it Wendy Wu or Wendy Chu?
Wendy Chu.
Yeah, well, Wendy Wu's the warrior from Disney Channel. Oh, yeah, their wrestling styles didn't clash the best. And Wendy Chu, you know, Kalani is not the biggest person, but Wendy Chu's even smaller than her.
Right.
And so that match felt – oh, and then towards the end of the match, they missed a big spot that threw off the ending a little bit. But other than that, they put on a good performance, but it was just their styles weren't the best clashing. The men's tag team match, I felt had one or two too many false finishes. I feel like they could have ended that match a false finish one or two sooner. You know, I felt like it was too many near falls in that match. Like, you know, one or two too many near falls. The women's world title match delivered, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Roxanne and Jada Parker. I always want to call her Bianca Parker, but Jada Parker. Let's see. The men's world title match delivered. The North American title match was good between Femi and Don. It wasn't Oba's best match from what I recall, but you know the Don. He's an established star. He got a lot of offense in. But it wasn't like Sammy Braun too much offense.
Right.
And had a good ending. And then, I like the Wesley and Zach Wentz match a lot. Maybe more than some people. is because I do like their story going into it, and I like this heel turn from Wes. I want to see him expand his chops because I already know he's a really good babyface. I definitely want to see his heel run. And the two of them had amazing chemistry, and they put on a good match. And I like how they were able to think on the fly and overcame the announced table botch. You know, the announced table kind of fell apart prematurely, and they adjusted almost seamlessly, and they got it done. It was a great match.
Yeah, no, and that they can spill over to TNA. We potentially even see it at Bound for Glory for the X Division title. Mm-hmm. I think that the big reason why they gave it to Zach Wentz at Emergence was so that on Sunday night, two nights later, it could show up on No Mercy. But yeah, I mean, they were even Zach Wentz and Trey Miguel were actually in a match tonight. I haven't watched NXT yet, but I know they were in a number one contenders tag team match for the titles. Mm-hmm. And so I think we could potentially see something where Bound for Glory is the week before Halloween Havoc. So I think we might get a little bit of like match two and three in that feud. Okay. At those shows, with Bound for Glory being like the biggest event for TNA of the year, so I think there's a lot of, I think I'm gonna say that was probably my favorite match of the night. I think it worked the best. It felt personal because it was, you know, the story is personal. I know you weren't a big fan of. Like the false, you were mentioning all the false finishes. It was sort of a theme of, you know, Nerdy D just got done talking about this on his show. If you go back and watch his live stream from earlier today, he was talking about, you know, false finishes. And his was more in, you know, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I mentioned there that I'm not against false finishes. I just don't like when. How AEW uses them, where every single match has 30 of them. But I do think, especially when it's like a starting match, like that tag team match was, having four or five or six of them to sort of start the night and get the crowd into it, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But I don't think every single, like if every single one of those matches had 30, you know, near falls. I'm also, though, not a big, like, on the same way, on the opposite side, I'm not a big fan of random pins for the hell of it. Like, I understand the idea of you just want to have them waste energy, and that's typically how wrestling fans try to justify it. But, like, if I'm just starting the match and I hit you with, like, a normal kick, why the fuck are you pinning them? And so that's sort of my mindset on it. Like false finishes after a finisher move is fine, but when I just hit you with a normal punch, I'm not gonna pin you. I'm just gonna continue to try to beat you up. Like I feel like that's logical. But yeah, I definitely think No Mercy was the best show of the weekend. Of course we get Julia showing up, which I was surprised it was her. I thought it was going to be Stephanie back here.
I think they did Julia first because she's been waiting a little bit. She's been waiting longer.
Well, I kind of assumed that they would just send Julia straight to Damage Control with Dakota Kai getting her to take on the stud line. But I don't know if maybe that ruins Julia because not many people know who she is on the main roster. Whereas... now, I want to go ahead and just bring this up because there's going to be certain AEW fans, namely James on Thursday, who complains about, oh, she didn't get no pop. I don't know what the hell you were listening to, but she got a pop. Mm. And I think WWE's been doing this, like turning down the crowd volume because of, I think a lot of it is just they don't want to catch all the holy shit chants anymore. So they've been turning down the volume, but they did it at Bash at Berlin, and so it may not have been as loud on TV, but she definitely got a pop. People cared that she was there. I also think a lot of people expected it, with the way they did the cliffhanger with Jada Parker on the last Tuesday's episode, where she beat Chief Smack the fuck out of Roxanne Perez.
Yeah,
and then she was, and then she was like, "Oh, you can get some too." And then that's where the show ended, and everyone kind of expected it to be Julia. So I think a lot of people knew it was coming. I'm gonna tell you right now, Julia. Y'all know I'm not a big fan of Asian women. Julia, she's number one in that category. She's a baddie. She's a baddie.
Is she going to make WWE's baddie list of the night in the future?
Maybe. Maybe. She might win one of them awards eventually. let's talk about Raw from last night. I know you missed the open. Did you go back and watch the open
I got, last night? I didn't watch the promo itself yet, but I got the gist of it. How, like, Rhea got tangled in the ropes and then Liv attacked her. Kind of set up Rhea with the bump knee. I didn't hear the words that were said during the promo, though. I didn't get to that.
To be honest with you, I don't even remember the words or anything said, to be honest. Nerdy D mentioned this in his post show, his Raw post show. That show was quite boring unless you were in the Discord that we were in and just you know, shooting shit, making fun of it, because it was pretty mid. And so I think the big thing for me leaving that and was Maxine. I think Maxine's improved a lot over the last few months. And then just how uncreative Triple H can be at times. Just copy-paste everything. And the disappointment of a lot of these segments getting Sammy versus Gunther again, Braun Strowman winning that triple threat match. Just a lot of it just straight disappointed me. I don't know. I ain't really got a lot to say about it. It was a pretty mid show for me.
Yeah. Especially outside of the CM Punk and Drew McIntyre feud, you know, because it was the show's a little lackluster.
Yeah.
Judgment Day didn't have as much of a presence as I like. You know, since the group is broken up, we're not getting as much like clubhouse backstage segments. We're kind of just getting like Damien and Rhea kind of thing. You know, we're not getting as much from the Judgment Day group themselves anymore. Let's see. Oh, there was no Bronson Reed because he had COVID this week. So we missed out on Bronson Reed. They teased a surprise for a triple threat match. It ended up being Braun Strowman who won the match. I feel like that was a letdown. I feel like, you know, because if you're saying that there's going to be a surprise entrant, but then we're in the show and Adam Pearce just decides to pick Braun like 30 minutes before the match. So, like, what was going to be the outcome if Braun, like, say, didn't show up to the show?
Right.
Didn't ask to be in the match. Who was going to be the surprise person that was advertised for his match? That's some of the plot holes or lazy booking that, you know, I can't get behind sometimes.
I also want to know, like, in the real world, if I was a promoter or if I was a manager, right, at your job and you came and said, "Hey, man, I'm hurt. I'm medically unable to work. But I can do it. I promise you. I don't care what the doctor said. I can do it. I could be sued if I let you work." So like that, and I understand Triple H told us, you know, and WWE's been doing this forever, you know, not really caring about the small details. But that's like, I don't know. It was such a letdown for them, because typically what happens is if someone gets sick or whatever, you know, typically what Adam Pearce usually does or what WWE usually does is they'll have that little video he was in. Bronson Reed can't go, and in his place, we're going to put so-and-so. And instead of doing that, they said, "Well, tune in Monday, tune in to Raw and find out who takes a spot," which leads me to believe, okay, we're going to get some sort of surprise.
I was hoping and Joe Hendry.
Joe Hendry was, you know, that would have been a big surprise. He doesn't have to win, but it would have been a big crowd, you know, pop. and instead it's, oh, it's Bronson Reed, or excuse me, Braun Strowman, and
who wasn't even supposed to be there that night.
Who wasn't supposed to be there? Who's medically uncleared, and he shows up, says, "You know what? I think I know better. I'm walking like I got a dick shoved up my ass because my ribs hurt. But I got this." And not only is he in the match, he fucking wins the whole thing. Like, I knew Sheamus was getting taken out by Pete Dunne, but I don't understand not having Ludwig win that match. I the only thing I can justify it is that Bronson Reed was supposed to win because they wanted a big guy in the match, because everyone else is typically small. And so they just put another big guy there. But you could have literally called Omos and said, "Hey, get your ass to Denver," and you could be the big surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
You could be the big surprise or whatever, and then have him win and people flip shit.
You could throw R-Truth in the match for all I care.
Right.
You know, it probably hurts though.
Right. I mean, who knows? I feel like it not only made no sense, but it really lessened Bronson Reed. Like, this is the type of shit that, like, people try to, you know, if this wasn't 2024, this was 1984. Bronson Reed's on that show, Sick or Not, because he's not missing out on this push.
Do you think there's a small chance that surprise could have been Odyssey Jones before whatever happened?
It could have been. Would have been interesting, but
was it advertised for like a week or a couple, or like at least like it was like earlier in the week that like the surprise got announced or whatever?
It was the same day. It was the same day yesterday, because Bronson Reed posted like early yesterday morning. He posted on Instagram that he had COVID, and that's when Adam Pearce announced that he was removed.
And then there'd be a surprise tune in.
Yeah,
but he didn't pick the surprise until 30 minutes before the match.
Right. I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those things where, like, it just felt lazy. Anything else you got to say about Raw?
I mean, we got, maybe 5 seconds worth of, I don't know if you want to call it advancement, but it wasn't really advancement, but the Kofi Xavier thing. I like the Kofi Xavier and Karrion Kross story. As far as like story progression,
right. So that's a whole weird thing too. They don't even address him on Odyssey on TV. You had Kofi on the screen. Xavier, I don't remember him being there.
He was on the show.
So it was just weird how, and a lot of us didn't know that this information we know now about why he was removed from the roster. I just sort of assumed this was the website glitched out, or they're, you know, maybe making changes to his profile. Because he wasn't in the alumni, so I think they're about to Chris Benoit his ass and just completely remove him from the website.
I mean, he didn't do much in WWE anyways.
Right. So
he won no championships or nothing.
Bro, I saw something from like 3 years ago when 205 Live was still a thing, and that motherfucker was on that show. Odyssey Jones versus Roderick Strong, and there's no way you could convince me that man was under 205.
it's like when the Dudley Boys try to compete in the X Division.
Right. All right, so Raw's done. So we'll move to the B-Master has two questions about NXT for us. We just mentioned Joe Hendry. He wants to know, like, explain Joe Hendry's popularity. Why is he so popular? And how long do you think this momentum will last?
I think Joe Hendry is popular for a couple reasons. One, the main reason, I think he's very memeable. He's very internetable, if you want to say. Like, you could, someone who's not a wrestling fan can gravitate towards a Joe Hendry meme or want to use a Joe Hendry meme. He's, you know, not only, you know, I mean, in the ring, he's not bad. He's a fairly average wrestler, slightly above average wrestler. He's not nothing extraordinary, but his entertainment value as far as, like, his concerts and stuff, and he's allowed to be funny and creative. Promo wise, you know, he's not like not the greatest one-on-one talker,
right?
But he can get, you know, laugh out the crowd and get the crowd behind him and get the crowd to, you know, like chant at the heel and do stuff. So he's really good at getting crowd engagement. But I think a big part of it, he's memeable. He's internetable. His song is, you know, catchy, which is again meme, is like kind of like a meme. And I think he's vanilla enough, like looking, so where he's like the regular guy. Like he's not, you know, he's a little bit bigger, like he's a little strong, but he doesn't look like unachievably built or unachievably strong.
Right.
He looks like someone's dad who, you know, went to the gym for 5 months and now he's on wrestling.
Right.
Like he looked like an average Joe kind of guy. You can get behind that. And also he's like British too, right? You know, people love the accent.
Yeah. So everything you just said, especially the meme ability of Joe Hendry, like the first time I'd ever heard of him was on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Every fucking TikTok scrolling up and down was this fucking song. And I hated it at first. But it's just something catchy about the song. It gets in your head. It's catchy. It is memeable. And that is, you know, that's marketing 101 in today's generation is, if you can make something, you know, a lot of musicians are learning this now. If you can make a song that goes viral on TikTok, you may be a one hit wonder, but that one song will pay the bills.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, especially like in like the country genre, how many artists go viral on TikTok, get record deals. We never hear of them again, but this one song just goes
forever.
Right. Well, they can live off of that forever. That's part of it. How long can it last? I mean, I don't expect it to last that long. However, it could also last forever. It just depends on how he's willing to adapt the character. It's sort of like a mix between like The Rock and like Elias. And I think it's a little bit more, like you said, average Joe than Elias was. Elias wasn't that charismatic. And they also had Elias play a heel, whereas this gimmick sort of requires you to be a face. I think that's part of it. I think it's a mixture of just his ability to use the internet but he also has like a built-in story of like, I mean, he's been doing this trying to get popular in wrestling for like 10, 15 years. He started on What Culture had their own promotion. He was there. He was one of the first guys that they built. He's been trying to get, you know, he was popular in the UK. Then he comes over here, gets real popular. That's what I mean also when I talk about like, if you get the American audience, you're sold. Right. And that's what I mean with like Okada. Okada can't get the American. I mean, his gimmick now is kind of funny. Now that I mentioned him, I think it's kind of funny that everyone thought that Okada was going to become Akira Tozawa when he signs, if he signed to WWE, and then AEW literally makes him Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
So
another thing about Joe Hendry, I think he's one of the few wrestlers that's beloved by the casuals and IWC.
Yeah.
Everybody likes him.
Yeah. His second question about NXT is, do you think NXT is popular enough to go overseas?
I mean, they had overseas branches, and that was kind of more like WWE's foothold in different countries.
Right.
Because you had wrestlers like Alba Fire, who's like a 300-day champion or whatever, over in NXT UK, and now she's over here on the main roster. You know, she's like a tag team champion or whatever, but you know, she's not what she was over there.
Right.
Do you say NXT in particular going overseas?
Yeah. I think it would be so. Here's the thing with overseas, because they get very little wrestling, anytime a major company goes over there, it's going to sell. And so, my issue with NXT is we can't. I don't want them to be, you know, I know like my whole thing like last year was NXT is the third brand. I still believe that they're not developmental, but I view it a little bit differently. it's sort of like the main roster is, to use a sports analogy of hockey, where you have your NHL teams, the best of the best, and then you have your the minor league team, the AHL, which is a mixture of guys who can still play hockey, but they're 30, 40 years old. They're not NHL caliber, but they're still good enough to play pro hockey. Mm-hmm. And then your developmental guys. And that's what NXT is. It's like the minor leagues. It's still pro wrestling. They're still pro athletes. But you're either trying to repackage yourself, you're not good enough to be on the main roster, or you're in development. And so that's – I don't necessarily think it would be smart to package NXT as a global show.
Yeah,
when they're developmental.
Yeah, are we touring overseas, or are you trying to like create like, you know, keep NXT in America, but then reopen like a NXT Europe or NXT Japan?
Right.
I feel like that at that point you might as well just do WWE UK or right. WWE Japan or Asia or whatever. WWE Australia, you know what I'm saying? Right. I mean, unless you want to keep it that, you know, WWE is this main roster of Raw and SmackDown.
I guess
you can do your NXTs of different countries, you know, and eventually you'll bring those, you know, NXT UK talents to the main roster, your NXT Japan wrestlers to the main roster, you know, I think that way.
So my big thing is I feel NXT, what makes NXT unique is that it's the feel, because I mean, you've said this with AEW, if they put Collision in a studio and just ran 1,000 people and made it feel intimate and full, like NXT, if you put NXT in an arena every single week, it's selling 1,500 tickets. And you know, like I'm real worried about the Chicago and St. Louis show to start with the CW. They'll sell out Chicago because CM Punk will be there. But you know, if St. Louis doesn't sell, and you rent out a hockey stadium and only fill half of it, that's really awkward for the brand, especially in the second night on the second show on the new network. So it's a big risk what they're doing. I don't want personally NXT at the Performance Center. It makes it feel intimate, like it, especially with NXT, because it's the same people in the crowd in the same seats every single week. Like I can look into the crowd and say, "There's the kid with the orange hair," and he was here 2 years ago. Look how much he's grown. Like literally, this kid's been in the same seat for like 2 years straight.
Yep.
Or the bigger black dude, I can't think of his name. He's on Twitter though.
Yeah, who leads the chants? Right there, mid.
Yeah, ring. Yeah, the one that when Jada Parker got her ass smacked or whatever, like fainted and whatever, and became a meme. that guy, like bro, just like the crowd itself sort of has its own uniqueness, and like they almost feel like a character in and of itself.
Yeah, like if you gave me like. Like if you brought TNA and like just, you know, bring them to like a rowdy high school gym, like almost like the indies, you fill it with like 600 to 1,000 people in a rowdy gym, you know what I'm saying? And then you bring some nice cameras. I'd rather see a rowdy fan base who's chanting and doing their thing and they're engaged in the show rather than a high budget studio with a Jumbotron.
Right,
but like you know, 20 people on camera.
Right. All right, I missed this. I almost forgot about this. Before we get to Thirsty Tuesday, we can't forget about AEW for a minute.
Yes, I love AEW.
They're running their second pay-per-view in 3 weeks. Where All Out is this Saturday. They're running Saturday pay-per-view this weekend, which means that I might actually watch it Saturday night. We'll see. but we're going to make predictions, and I haven't looked at this card because I wanted this to be straight off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up now for the first time.
All right, so we're you got it off of Wikipedia, or
I'm on like pwtorch.com.
Okay,
it was updated 12 minutes ago.
Six matches.
One, two, three, four. Yep, five, six. Yep.
Okay, so I'm gonna start with the order they are on Wikipedia. Well, no, that's. Oh yeah, we'll start there. Will Ospreay versus Pac for the International Championship, which has changed names like every week for the last month, it feels like. Who wins it? And by the way, it's in Chicago. Just so everyone knows. Who wins, Ospreay versus Pac?
Pac's not from Chicago, right? He's from
Europe. he's from the UK, yeah.
So seeing that MJF is preoccupied, I don't know if there's enough interference options that can lead to a Pac victory. I feel like, you know, if Will Ospreay is gonna be your guy and you're gonna push him, you know, AEW is not shy of, like, I guess booking a double champion or pushing someone to the main title scene, even though they're holding another title. So it's not like WWE where he needs to drop his mid-card title to go chase the world title, right? So
right.
I see Ospreay winning this match unless you get some type of – cause apparently, from what I read and seen, Ricochet has been debuted as a face.
Yes.
Which makes his Twitter and Facebook interactions even even worse, because we suspected maybe he's going to be a heel. He's playing into the gimmick a little bit. Nah, he's a freaking face. So he's just a little salty on the internet. But give me Ospreay, unless Ricochet makes some weird heel turn after 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah, I'm going Ospreay. I do feel, though, Ricochet, I think they'll run a face versus face, Ospreay versus Ricochet. I don't necessarily – I think Ricochet comes out at the end of the match.
And challenges him.
Next is Willow Nightingale versus Chris Statlander, Chicago Street Fight for the CMLL Women's World Championship.
I got to go Chris Statlander. And I'm only going Chris Statlander because Willow won the tag team match to pick the stipulation of the match.
Correct.
And I feel like if you want Willow to win, that kind of should have been reversed if I'm going off of just – you know, basic 101 booking logic or historical logic, historical patterns, if you will. You know, and I feel like Chris Statlander has the potential to be a big player in the women's division. She's powerful. She's strong. She has a good look to her. She has a manager who could do the talking for her because, you know, she's not the strongest talker. As much as I do like Willow Nightingale, I just don't think that they're going to push her properly. You know, she has a title, right? She has the CMLL.
I'm pretty sure I think she's champion, yeah.
Is she she's not holding two titles, right? It's just a CMLL or whatever?
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, so I think Chris Statlander wins this match.
I'm with you as well, Statlander. I just think it makes the most sense, like you said, you know, Willow picked the gimmick. I'm sure with it being a street fight, we'll get some interference somewhere. Yeah. The man who should be your world champion, Swerve Strickland, takes on Adam Hangman Page in the steel cage match, replicating CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. Swerve has to win this, you think? Maybe.
This is number two, right? This is not number three. This is number two.
I've lost count. This feud feel like it's been going on all year.
Yeah, but as far as matches, have they only had like Hangman versus Swerve one?
One where he drank the blood out of his face.
Yeah. Was there a second match after that or anything? Or a match before that?
I believe this is three. You'll have to tune in on Thursday for James to give you the correct information. But
give me Hangman Adam Page, just because I feel like, you know, Swerve just went on a decent title run. I think they might try to bring Hangman back into the title picture.
You think with it being a steel cage, maybe, you know, is there some elite Young Bucks interference somewhere?
There could be, especially when they from Blood and Guts, they had the whole like handcuffing thing.
Yeah,
maybe they run that, bring that back. It also depends, are they doing an escape the cage win or you got to pin or submit?
Right.
You know, unpopular opinion, but I think steel cage matches should be won by pin or submission, not escape the cage.
I agree.
The whole point of the cage is to keep the heel from leaving.
Right.
So that you can pin or submit them or beat them up.
Right.
But I'm just going to beat you up so then I can leave the cage.
Right.
So I can leave the match. I don't know. But yeah, give me Hangman because I think he is going to be pushed back into the title picture.
Okay. I'm going Swerve here. I think Swerve has to win this. I just feel, I don't know. I don't like how they booked him all year. I just think that they put the title on him to say, hey, look, we made him champion, and then kept him in the mid card.
I think this match should have been for the world title.
Absolutely. There's no reason. Yeah, absolutely. And then we have MJF versus Daniel Garcia.
If Tony's gonna live to his work, you remember back in January or December when he was promoting Daniel Garcia and he came out like at the end of the show and he was like, "You guys love Daniel Garcia? Well, guess what? You're gonna be seeing a whole lot of Daniel Garcia, this, that, and the other." And there's reports that they're gonna push him to the moon. They haven't done jack shit with him. So, I mean, if you want to capitalize on this feud and get like a Garcia versus MJF part two or three or whatever, however many matches you want to advance the feud, you gotta have Garcia win, or he looks like a chump getting beat up by MJF, being put on the shelf for how many weeks, and then he returns just to lose to MJF.
Right.
I think you gotta put Garcia over here, especially if you want to live up to your, we're gonna push this guy.
Yeah, MJF. I'm picking MJF. I think they, though I don't know, Daniel Garcia has been rumored that they just threw a lot of money at him to keep him. So, I don't know. I'm picking MJF. That's just the top, my first instant reaction is MJF. Mercedes Moné versus Shida.
I don't give a fuck.
For the TBS championship.
I don't give a fuck about this match.
Absolutely, this match.
Hey, let me see what this girl looked like again.
So the last time I saw Shida, she done about broke Sky Blue's ankle, trying to throw her out the ring. That's why Sky Blue has been on TV.
Oh, this one, okay. You know, like, so like when it comes to the Japanese wrestlers, I gotta put a face to the name,
right?
Cause isn't she a former AEW world champion?
World champion, yep.
Was she the first one or the second one?
I don't think she wasn't the first, because that was Riho, and then I think Nyla Rose was the second, I think it was Shida after that.
Yeah, I remember she is. She was kind of important in early AEW. I mean, you know. Mercedes still got creative control, right? So
yeah, right.
She's not in this title ring.
That don't work for me, brother.
Especially after her and Charlotte exchanged titles how many times and how many years? How many matches? It was like 7 times in 1 year. Something like that.
I was there for one of them live here in Charlotte.
give me Moné.
Yeah, Mercedes has to win after you basically ruin anything with Britt Baker. By having her lose, which Mercedes has to win. And then, now, this is going to be the main event. And I'm assuming Tony Khan's adding more matches tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we're predicting the 6 matches we know of now. I'm assuming he's adding 8 more tomorrow because he loves to run these 14-match cards.
Yeah, we're definitely getting Ricochet and the Lucha Bros versus...
Insert tag team here. It's
Warlow and Top Flight. Warlow and Private Party versus Ricochet and the Lucha Bros.
Book I just want to know before we talk about this main event, why is Mariah May not in a match yet?
Like, I don't know. I mean, the easy answer was she was just in a match 2 weeks ago, but so were half these wrestlers.
Sure, half of these motherfuckers. Like, what's Jamie Hayter doing? My girl Jamie Hayter's back, and I ain't seen shit since her return at All In. But our main event here, where micro wrestling takes over AEW, and I stole that joke from Nerdy D, but Bryan Danielson and Jack Perry main eventing. Can y'all imagine? Jungle Bitch in the main event in Chicago, where they absolutely fucking love him. For the world title, in a match where if Bryan Danielson loses, he has to retire. Mm. Now, James is going to pick Jack Perry to win this. I think that they're going to give Danielson a decent title run. But this could still play into my theory that Danielson loses this match. And then the Friday after shows up in Seattle on SmackDown. On the debut on USA. Just saying, he can technically still do it. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm picking Danielson to win.
Isn't there some show going on in Washington that, like, y'all think that he was going to be at or something? Or James think he's going to be at?
There's a show in October. There's a show in October in Washington he thinks that Bryan Danielson's going to be at.
Now, as far as predictions, If you're asking me who should win this match, Jungle Bitch should win this match, okay? Jack Perry. Jack Perry should win this match, okay? That way he can at least get some sort of closure or momentum or push or getting over from the whole CM Punk situation. Because right now, Jack Perry is looking like a Jack Bitch, okay? He's looking like a jacked up bitch. So, you know, he got in trouble with CM Punk and he got sent to Japan. And then the tapes came out where we saw he got bitched. And then he came back. He won. Is he also like TNT champion or something?
He was, but then he lost it. It's who the fuck beat him for it?
Oh, that ladder match, right? Wasn't it a ladder match he lost in it? No. Didn't he fight at All In?
Let's double check. That's right. He did beat Darby. So yeah, he is TNT champion.
Yeah, I was saying. So Jack Perry should win the title in Chicago to retire Daniel Bryan, to get booed on by the Chicago fans who are gonna chant CM Punk at him. But maybe that's a scene that Tony Khan doesn't want. His world champion being crowned and the crowd chanting for CM Punk. So, as much as Jack Perry, from a booking standpoint, should win this match and go over, Bryan Danielson's winning this match. And we're going to get, Dale Bryan or Bryan Danielson's last opponent is not going to be Jack Perry. All right. Who his last opponent is going to be, I don't know. Who's a worthy Daniel Bryan last opponent in AEW? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Unless you want him and Goldust to retire together? I don't know. But I think Daniel Bryan walks out, or Bryan Danielson walks out as champion, but he loses it probably maybe at that October show. Who knows? Mm. But he loses it somewhere because Daniel Bryan is going to return for WrestleMania in April. So he's going to face Cody Rhodes in April. We all know this, or I know this. I'm predicting it, so you should know this. Right. Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. Give me Daniel Bryan, but it should be Jack Perry.
All right. Yeah, I'm picking Danielson. I do agree, maybe. You should definitely put that on. Perry, just because of, like you said, it gives closure to that whole situation. But with that, we're going to move over to the final four of our men's tournament here. for Thirsty Tuesday. I haven't posted an updated bracket in the Discord yet. I almost forgot about it completely again. But with that said, let's announce the winners from last week. So we have Carmelo Hayes beating Joe Hendry, even though our number one supporter, Kara, you only wanted to vote for Joe Hendry, even though I think you voted for Joe Hendry.
I voted Carmelo.
Okay, so yeah, we both went Carmelo then. So Melo wins there. Roman Reigns beats MJF.
I voted Roman too.
Trick Williams beats Danny Garcia. And I know that I think this was the only one we were different on. I had Kaiser, you had Logan Paul.
Yep.
And the Discord in a straight 3-0 vote voted for Logan Paul and agreed with you. So that leaves our final four, our two matchups here. Carmelo Hayes versus Roman Reigns, and Logan Paul versus Trick Williams. So Carmelo versus Roman, who are you picking?
Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Roman's. I'll go Roman there. I like that. And then Logan Paul versus Trick Williams.
Oh, this is tough. I think Logan had the advantage of going against like a lot lower competition.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Logan should be in the finals, but it's just to get to the situation, he beat some mid talent.
He got the luck of the draw there.
I gotta go Trick Will. Trick Willie. Roman Reigns versus Trick Williams.
Yeah. I like Trick there as well. What I want to do, though, I want to see what the Discord vote is. Because when I made this bracket, there was an opportunity for Carmelo versus Trick. And I kind of figured we were going to maybe get that as the final. But Roman versus Trick. So I made a prediction with myself looking at it when I made the bracket, that the finals was going to be either Carmelo versus Trick or Roman versus Trick. It just sort of wrote itself. Mm. And it looks like we're going to get one of those matchups. Though I didn't expect Danny Garcia to make it to the damn near the end. This Discord vote really fucked some shit up. But any final words before we sign off?
I think currently in the world of WWE, to answer one of B-Master's questions, I think Raw is the land of opportunity currently, just based off of pure TV time that they have to fill and that there's no bloodline over there. Because the bloodline takes up a lot of SmackDown TV time, and SmackDown is one less hour.
Right.
And right now, Raw has more TV time, and they're not and you know, a lot of people are eating over there. We're having like 6 or 7 stories being told on every episode of Monday Night Raw. We're on SmackDown. We're lucky if we get 2 or 3, three stories.
Right.
You know, say everybody's eating on Raw. Everybody's eating.
Right. I'm glad you brought up that question. I almost completely forgot about it. I think if I'm an NXT superstar, I think there's a lot of them. Roxanne Perez, JC Jane, Fallon Henley. I think there's a lot of them that look at where they're currently sitting right now on the pecking order in NXT. And they look at someone like Dragunov or Carmelo Hayes, and they're not being used in anything important. And so if I'm Roxanne Perez, why would I go join a main roster where I'm not the top of the card? And so I think the opportunity right now for the NXT superstars is just to stay on NXT. Especially if you're Roxanne. I mean, she's, 24, 25? If the rumors are right, she's going to get the dream match against AJ Lee.
Isn't Roxanne still, 21 or 22?
She's young. Super young.
I think she's only 21 or 22 still.
Yeah, she's super young. And so I don't necessarily think there's any rush to get them up to the main roster, especially with how packed that roster is right now.
I will say, if I was a female superstar, I'd rather go to SmackDown. But if I was a male superstar, I'd rather go to Raw.
Yeah. Now, that's until Charlotte comes back. Because once Charlotte comes back, she's eating all of SmackDown TV time.
But, well, she's eating up the world title, but she's going to need competitors or challengers.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is like the Raw or the women's division on the main roster sort of missing the star power outside of Rhea right now. Bianca's not doing anything necessarily important. Charlotte and Becky aren't here. Raquel's unfortunately probably not coming back because of her skin issue.
It's been doing a lot better. I saw on a few recently.
Yeah.
Her skin's been looking real good. She said, and feeling good.
That's good.
So hopefully we get her back sooner rather than later.
Yeah. And so at its weakest right now, the women's division on the main roster is still not enough room to call up all the, what we can call veterans of NXT who feel like they've been there for 2 or 3 years. Like you said, Cora Jade, she's an injury risk.
Nikita Lyons.
How she has a job, I have no idea. Like I said this when I did my tier list on Nikita. She was fine when she got there, because when she debuted, she was like the only one that was thick there. She coming back to a lot of competition in that category. Miss Parker.
I think there's wrestlers like Nikita where WWE sees ventures outside of wrestling for her.
So she already is like a pop star. Like, you can find her music on Apple Music. And so
I think they're gonna try to use her for that and this other stuff, other ventures.
Kind of
like how Tiffany Stratton is going to do a lot of stuff outside of WWE. That WWE is going to want to keep that connection with her and use her name.
So that was sort of a take Mike had, and I actually don't agree with that. I think she's in it for the long haul. I do. I understand, like, his take and, like, you know, all her social media is, you know, the get ready with me. She's smart and how to build a following. That's TikTok. She's using the algorithm with those posts. And so I think, I mean, this is like a dream of hers that sort of pressed on her by her parents. Her parents wanted her to be pro wrestler. And so I don't necessarily, she'll get movie deals. Absolutely. But in the same way that Drew McIntyre got a movie deal, none of us fucking knew about it until it sponsored his match. And he's showing up in a movie with Batista and it explains why he's been gone for forever before this current feud.
Definitely wrestlers like Tiffany where I don't know where her gimmick starts or ends, like as far as her personality. Like, is she really like a Paris Hilton like influencer type, or is she more just like, that's just like straight character and she's just good at it?
I think it's a character. I think it's all I don't know. We'll have to ask Ludwig how she is outside off the camera. But with that, any final words on anything else in the wrestling world?
Not in the wrestling world, unless you got something. I got to try to figure out my fantasy football name.
Ooh.
Shit. Yeah.
Why you come up with that? Speaking of outside opportunities, And you know, Nikita being a pop star, this man Trick Williams done dropped a whole diss track on Pete.
Fire.
This thing is fire. And I didn't know Trick Willie could rap, but that was he had the whole damn roster in that music video.
Oh crap. Okay, so. So you know, so it has to be SpongeBob based, okay? That's the league rule. It has to be SpongeBob based, and I'm trying to tie them up with my roster. So a quick rundown of the roster in case you have any, you know, brainstorm or anything. I got Tua. I got Tua Tagovailoa, whatever his name. Tua, Bijan Robinson, Josh Jacobs, Nakua. Whatever it's fucking name. I got DJ Moore. I got Dallas Goedert, DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, Jake Elliott, the Texans defense, Jared Goff, Aaron Jones, Romeo Dowell. No, sorry, Rico Dowell from Rico. From the Cowboys. Javonte Williams, Romeo Doubs, Dawson Knox, and Cole Kmet.
Mm.
So when I was thinking from SpongeBob, you remember the episode where it's like, oh, who you calling Pinhead? I'm right. Pinhead.
Right.
And I know it has something to do with Texas. Oh, do you think, what was it, him and Sandy were talking, you think everybody from Texas is dumb? I got the Texas defense, but I don't know. DK, my leg.
My leg.
DK, my leg. I don't know. Are you ready? Oh, I don't know. I'll give some brainstorm to it. I'll let you guys know what my team name is on next week's show.
All right. Yeah, so that's been another episode of the Slapper Meat Wrestling Podcast. As always, all the links are in the description. Go get your merch. Go join the Discord. Help us out. Like I said, go get your merchandise. Tune in Friday as we have my solo episode. It's going to be a really good one for you guys. And I got a new segment called Star of the Week. Mm. And that's something that I'm going to start running on Fridays. You know, Wavy D can get that Baddie of the Week award. I got the Star of the Week. Who shine bright in that week of wrestling? So tune in Friday for that. And until then, y'all have a great rest of your week. Brother, I'm going, run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick her on his jaw cord. But it's no